Hello and welcome to Sim Radio here on the Sisters in Music Network. It's Monday Music Madness and you're tuned into Mixing It with Nikki Kranz. This is Nikki, and in case you don't know anything about me, I'm a singer-songwriter from Raleigh, North Carolina. My show celebrates women and men in the music and entertainment industry, providing an avenue for them to showcase their talent. Our motto, Sisters in Music, Together We Are Stronger. My guests today form part of the Hawaiian-based band Space Hug. Born in the COVID era, a collaborative fusion ignited by the eclectic talents of my two guests, the band has emerged to infuse beauty and meaning into peculiar times through driving guitar riffs, soulfully stacked vocals, and innovative keyboard counter melodies. Please join me in welcoming the awesome dynamic duo of Eric and Adrienne, better known as Space Hug. Welcome, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
Hi, Nikki. I am very excited to share you and your music with everyone. So let's dig right into it. The two of you were in a different band together before COVID, and then obviously completely shut down, 2020, crazy times. Yes. Musical performances stopped. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people were out of work. No live performing, all that fun stuff. Adrienne, you were home. You were a single mother with two young twins. Your daycare closed. Eric, Manny, love it. Why don't you take us a little bit through that and tell us how that entire situation got Space Hug started.
It is one of those stories that we say if anyone listening is a movie maker, it would be a super cute rom-com. Yeah, we were a band and it wasn't doing our own original music. It was in Minneapolis. Met some amazing musicians through that experience that eventually ended up joining us in our own project, Space Hug, later down the line. But yeah, when exactly like you mentioned, the world just shut down and I was working from home. I was lucky to have a job where I could work from home, so I got to keep my job, but a lot of people didn't. Unlucky part about mine was that I had the daycare closed for my little twinnies, and I had two-year-old twins running around the house while I was trying to get my work done, and that was not working out for me. And I knew Eric really well. We were really good friends, and his work had shut down. And so he was available, and I sent him a little note, like, have you ever changed a diaper? Do you want to be my manny? I could pay you. And he was super scared, but rose to the challenge to be a good friend. And my kids fell madly in love with him, and then I fell madly in love with him. And so then I married the manny. But we ended up then during that process deciding we wanted to make some music together because we were now in the same bubble, and that's how Space Hug started, because there was no other way to gig and there was no other way to make music. So that's how we started, and it was a super scary thing for you, right?
Yeah. Well, after like 15 minutes of like, let's do this, kids, and it's like they're bored with it.
They're
and you're
too,
like,
yeah.
And you're like, now what am I gonna do for the next 3 hours? Their attention span's about 10 minutes. So it was very challenging. But once I got the hang of it, it was fun. And I liked the kids a lot. And then, you know, we kind of fell in love. And I ended up moving in and sold my house. And we got married. And then
we
set up a studio in the basement and started recording tunes, like, on our own. And eventually drew another musician. So
yeah, super fun.
Yeah.
Well, that definitely is like a rom-com movie waiting to happen. We're going to put that manifestation out in the universe because it is a really, really positive story that has come out of one of the probably most difficult times in mm-hmm. recent memory, right, for this country. So, and the world, obviously, because mm-hmm. it wasn't just a U.S. statement. And I know, too, that being locked in together and being cooped up, live performances, I don't think started until, you know, got back going, what, to maybe 2 years after COVID, if that.
Oh,
you guys did a lot of music videos, your first iteration and first way to generate an audience. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those and how they've now become some of your favorite memories?
We were just thinking, we had these songs and we're like, why don't we do videos? And we're able to do In Famous Entertainers with Christian Grey. And he's a really cool guy. And we went into the Chan Hassan Theater, and they were looking for, you know, their workers to have something to do. And everyone kept a distance and wore masks. And then we shot the videos, and it was really fun. We got our friends involved, throwing balloons full of paint at us, and everyone with masks on, of course. But we just wanted to put music out into the world, and we weren't able to perform live, so we just figured, why don't we do some music videos to get our music out into the world.
It was a way for me, too, because I'm usually a front person or a singer. It's also a way to perform.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can actually put on a show, put on a performance through video. It was the first time I'd ever done music videos myself personally. Eric has more experience in his life, but I hadn't. And I can tell you, it was the first couple ones we did so awkward. And Nikki, as the singer, it might be awkward for you too. I'm not sure if you've done many, but you have to lip sync to yourself in front of your friends and your bandmates and everyone, and you kind of feel like an idiot at first, but it's actually, you get the hang of it and it turns out fine. But it was kind of a weird experience to be, you know, lip syncing, but it was better than nothing. And that was kind of our only other option. And it turned out to be a way for us to make art and do something creative together.
Yeah. And then once the, you know, gigs came back, we were able to use it as promotion and to build an audience and have a little following when we started doing some shows, especially as an original band. It's pretty difficult to, you know, gain that crowd that you need to keep the bar owners happy. So we were able to do that, and it helped propel us into the music scene in Minneapolis, so it was cool.
Yeah, that is actually one of the things that I often don't quite understand, why it's so challenging for bands that do original music to build an audience, and why club owners and patrons of clubs or bars or venues always want to hear like cover bands, because I want to go and listen to original music. It's weird.
It is weird. I don't know. I think like a lot of like what I notice, I think a lot of the younger crowds staying in, they got all the social media and all that kind of stuff. And like, some of the bars are filled with older people, and they want to hear their favorite songs from when they were kids or something. I don't know. That's my theory. But it is really difficult for original bands to make any hay playing clubs, you know.
I think it's difficult for club owners that play original music, which, you know, we as musicians adore them and love them, but it's really hard for them to stay in business. Like, one of our favorite venues, KG's Hideaway, which is in downtown St. Paul, Minnesota, just announced that they were closing their doors. And that's where we did kind of a bunch of our shows. And we loved it. It was this intimate, speakeasy, kind of super cool, used to be the artist quarters type of venue. And it just keeps getting turned over. It's really difficult to get people in the door. So if anyone's listening, please go to a show of an original music band or artists, because it not only helps them, but it helps those venues stay in business so we can actually keep performing. It's really difficult.
And I don't know if like COVID just kind of made people want to stay in more too. I don't know. Cause after like 2 years of sitting at home, they're maybe just kind of comfy and used to it, watching Netflix all the time.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know when I was working with a local band, even last year, a lot of the venues where we played, and we did a lot of original music, but we also sprinkled in like some covers. Mm-hmm. It was mixed because people that knew the band wanted to hear the originals and weren't really interested in the covers. But then, you know, other people were like, oh, it's really great that you did that cover song, and so on and so forth. So I don't know. It's a strange mix, I guess.
No, we do.
You need to have.
Yeah. we do the same thing as you usually at our live shows. We do a mix where we do mostly originals, but throw in a cover here or there, maybe a little lesser known cover just to kind of flavor it up a little bit. But yeah, it's a balance. You can never really make everybody happy, but that's kind of just in life. So
yeah, right.
Yeah,
gotta make
yourself exactly.
Happy.
Yeah, yeah, gotta make yourself happy.
Exactly. And teeing up on your comment about music videos, I literally have one music video where I'm actually singing in it or appear to be singing in it. And I actually recorded it myself using my iPhone, and I was actually singing it because I felt like it would look funny if I lip-synced myself.
Yeah, right?
So I definitely know the feeling.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely know the feeling. Well, I've seen this video, so now we're going to talk about the song, but we are going to encourage people to go out and look at this video because I think it is so, so cute. And the song is absolutely awesome. So let's talk about the first song that you brought with you to share. And I believe that it's influenced by your lovely little furry family friend, George. So let's talk about Taking a Walk with George.
George is the greatest dog in the world.
Eric thinks George is here at the interview right now. He's a celebrity, so he's involved. Yeah, we adopted George. I actually was volunteering on a voluntation, kind of is what I call it, with some of my friends at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Utah. And that's where you can go take care of tons of different homeless animals. And I accidentally came home with a puppy. So I am very grateful to have such a cool husband that was on board with that. And he was like, great, I'll get everything ready for when you get off the plane. But yeah, George turned out to be the member of our family we didn't know we were missing. And he's a wonderful guy. And he brings us so much joy. And just going for walks with him after work, and especially during the pandemic and everything, it was just, it's such a stress reliever. It's such a happy time. It reminds you of everything good in life that is still just the little things. And so you wrote a song about it, and it's relatable.
He's the best behaved of all our children. We call him Gentleman George. He's just such a sweetheart.
Gentleman George. Oh, my God, I love that. Well, we're going to play the song about Gentleman George. So this is called Taking Your Walk with George by Safe Hug.
Sunshine.
absolutely love this song. And one of the reasons why I really, really enjoy listening to your music is because it's very unique. You take so many different, like, aspects, musical aspects, different types of genres, even, like, your melodies. They're very unique. They're very different. They're not cookie cutter. There's a lot of thought that actually goes into your songs. At least that's what I'm getting from the songs that I've listened to. You really take time to build these song structures out. Could you give us a little bit of background on each of you? Because I do know, Eric, you've worked with some other individuals in the industry, and Adrian, you as well. So could we get a little bit of background and where the two of you actually drawing some of your influences from?
Well, when I was younger, I was in a band called Limited Warranty, and we were signed, and Bill Graham was our manager. We were with Atlantic, and we toured all over the place, and I was a songwriter in that band. And then later on, I did a band called Holiday Ranch, and that was a college band. We played almost every college in the U.S., and just honed my songwriting skills through those bands and learned about the music business through that. So,
well, and I know we're talking about background, but if anyone's looked up Limited Warranty Minneapolis band, they also won Star Search, so you can find them that way. But they had the best hair.
the best hair.
It's unrelated to music, but it is really good hair. They all had, like, the matching poodles that kind of, like, come out the front.
Right.
Terms all together. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So you know, in case you need to see something gorgeous, look up Limited Warranty. But
a lot of, like, space suits and stuff.
Yeah. but in terms of the songwriting, that's definitely how you honed it throughout the years. And then so with us, and I'm classically trained in terms of vocals. I was a music performance major and did lots of different music and worked at Sony in New York City just to kind of learn more about the industry and kind of, you know, get in different ways. But this has definitely been the most rewarding way to make music, is just together with you. But how our typical process works is Eric will bring a song. He'll come up with a song because he's our songwriter. So he'll come up with a song on his guitar and, you know, usually the lyrics as well. He's a really good lyricist. And he'll just kind of, you know, bang it out and put it together and show it to me. And then as a songwriter, I'll usually reorganize or redo the way that I want to do the melody or stack some vocals. And then we show it to our bandmates. And from there, they pretty much have free reign in terms of bringing their own creativity, bringing their own skill, because what we like to do is to bring in musicians that are just uber talented, really creative, and get their own take on it. And sometimes we'll edit things live in a rehearsal, like, oh, you know, can you change the sound on the keys for this one? Or let's quiet that area down, or let's get that less busy, or let's see more of you, you know, bass in this bridge. We'll get some feedback, but typically it's their own musicianship, and it makes the songs so much better and so much fun to write, and they come together really fast.
Yeah.
So that's been a joy.
I think part of the reason the styling's changed, too, is early on we were doing everything ourselves except for bass. I'd have some play bass. But after COVID, then we had the band together, and then everybody just inserted their creations on top. So
it got better.
Yeah, kind of morphed the style a little bit. But I also like lots of genres of music, so I just kind of write what I'm feeling that day. Sometimes I'm kind of in a rock mood. Sometimes I'm in a pop mood or jazzy mood or whatever. So just mix it up.
Well, and I think that's important, right? Because it keeps your audiences interested in what you're going to do next or what the next song is going to feel like. So I think that that's really important.
It's fun to have surprises, you know. We have some pretty quirky tunes.
There are. They're not too weird, but they're weird, just weird enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is really fun. And the people that we bring in are so amazing. We've had a couple different bassists just because they've moved. But we started off with Andrew Walls, who lives in New York City, and he still contributes to our band remotely through bass parts. Ended up having Brett Haugen come in as our live performer in Minneapolis on bass. He's amazing, and he is a really cool bandmate too.
Yeah.
Our kids actually have hair. They have Brett hair. They're like, we want to be cool like Brett. We've got Ryan, who came from our previous band. He's on drums, and he's a very, very talented drummer. He could be a jazz drummer. He's so good.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple different keyboardists. We had Corey Eisen. He's kind of like the mad scientist of sounds, the space huggy kind of spacey sounds. He's really good at those and plays with the Purple Experience a lot. So he's busy. So then we brought in David Kohler, who also was in a previous band with us, and he's just this incredible virtuoso pianist who can do anything, and he's the one who writes some of those cute little licks, like on Taking a Walk with George, all the synthy parts, and makes the songs just so much more special. So we're really lucky to have all of them in our corner still.
Yeah, we gave him a big piano solo before one of our tunes so he could just show off.
So he could show off. I love that. Well, now, you guys have recently relocated to Hawaii, and that's obviously got to be very, very different from being in Minneapolis. I know you've mentioned that you're still working with a lot of different types of musicians remotely. How are things going, building up your gigging vibe or giving lifestyle within your new community in Hawaii? I mean, I'm sure the music scenes are different. So how's it going?
There's not much of a music scene where we're at. We're kind of in rural Hawaii on the east side. It's, the big island. We basically live in the jungle, sort of. So.
Welcome to the jungle.
I mean, we're focusing a lot on recording right now, and we're kind of meeting some people through just slowly networking, and I think eventually we'll get something going live. But right now we're really happy recording. I've got 4 new songs that we're working on, one we just finished, and we're just going to keep doing that for now, I think.
Yeah, I think it could be really fun to integrate ourselves and kind of maybe help boost up the local music scene. But yeah, for now, it's pretty rural. We don't even get mail out here. It's pretty, it's a different life.
Oh, my
goodness. Kind of I know. We're way out here. It's different than Minneapolis in so many ways, but also we're living in paradise, so you can't really complain about much. But yeah, it's the cool thing about working remotely, making music remotely, living these lives is we're so connected. And, you know, with all the software and everything, we can show our music to our bandmates wherever they are, if they're in New York, Minneapolis, wherever they are, and they can deliver their parts and we can integrate it. And it's just really fun. So we're still doing that, which is cool.
That is cool. And for those of you who stick around till the end of the interview, at the very end, I do believe we're going to have a little bonus track that the band has recently shared with me. But we're going to talk more about that later. Right now, we're going to take a short break, hear from a word from one of our partners in podcasting. This is Chatting with Nat, and we'll be right back with Nixing It with Nikki Chris on the Sim Radio Network.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
And we are back on Nixing It with Nikki Chris on the Sim Radio Network. And my awesome guest, Eric and Adrian from Space Hug. We talked a little bit about your creative process, but I know, like, you guys have gotten into some, like, really, like, detailed songwriting sessions and learning sessions, right? Because I think you built a studio in your old home. I know that you're setting things up in your new home on the Big Island and doing a lot of composing, putting things together. With that, 2 questions. Songwriting tip or trick from Eric, but then I would also like to learn a little bit more about, like, some of the favorite things that you like to do at home in your home studio.
I think songwriting tips, I don't know. I just play on the guitar and then a cool riff comes, and then I'm like, what's the vibe of the tune? And then somehow some words just come into my head and start putting it together. And then I bring it to Adrienne. I go, what do you think of this? Is it cooler? And she's like, yeah, I like that part, or I like this part. And then sometimes it takes a little while to, like, mash it out. But we usually come up with something that's kind of cool. And then we just go into the studio. I'll lay, like, a basic drum pattern down and get the chords down and then just start building on that. And then send it to the guys and have them do bass and their parts and stuff, drums and keys.
Yeah, I think for Space Hug, it's definitely guitar driven, even if there's a really influential keys part or something like that that maybe as a listener you'll hear. Usually all of our songs start off based on a guitar riff, and that's just how I see the way you do it.
Right.
Is usually because he's a guitarist, so it's kind of like you got to lean on your instrument, you know, whatever your instrument is that comes most naturally to you. If you lean on that, then it's gonna be better. So you always start with that, and then we build songs off of it.
Yeah.
And I think for, like, things that we do in our home studio, kind of riffing off of that, as a singer, what I really, really like is that I have the ability to just play around and spend as much time as I want on my parts. And I've done recording in studios before, and you're always paying by the hour. You're always paying for your time. And it's usually expensive, and oftentimes as a group or a band, you're paying for it together. So you don't want to be that singer that's, you know, oh, I got to go back in for another session, or you end up sitting there for, you know, many, many hours racking up the bill. And it's just kind of stressful. So one of the things that I love to do is just spend my time building up and stacking the vocals, because those harmonies that you add on, they take some time, and, you know, you have to actually sit and listen to it and feel what's natural, and, like, maybe do the melody and then add a third up from that, and then add, you know, a fifth up from that, and then maybe play around with some kind of cool different, you know, background doo-wop-y kind of things that you want to do. But if you're sitting there doing it in your own private space and nobody's there, and you can just play with it and add to it and edit it in your own time, it really does make it so much better, because you're able to just change the song as a vocalist. And
right.
Instead of just giving the melody or just doing what the songwriter tells you to do, you can go and you can create your own parts. And that's been something that's been really empowering to me. And at first, I think you were a little nervous about my millions of harmony tracks, because I didn't necessarily know how to do it in the most efficient way with the software.
There's 64 vocal tracks.
There's 64 vocal tracks. I didn't know how to do it right. So you taught me, and you know, I got better at it. And now I feel like an old hat when I sit down in front of the computer. With all these softwares that you have nowadays, you can really, for a very inexpensive investment, have your own kind of studio, and it's cool.
There's been songs, too, that I've been working on, and then about halfway through, I'm like, I don't like this. And I just, like, start over.
Yeah.
Where you probably wouldn't do that if you're paying money, you know? So it's just kind of like, it's the freedom of time, just to take your time and get it right, make it the way you want it, or you're happy with it. So, and Adrienne brings so much to the songs. It's just so much fun for me to come in and go see what she worked on, you know, and added. And it's like, wow, that's so much cooler.
Thanks.
I love it.
Well, you had to say that because you're married, but...
That's the truth.
Thanks, baby. That's so cute. But you guys are exactly correct, because I think it's very important, or rather, it's a good thing for people to realize that if you do have a home studio, you do have a lot of flexibility with, like, playing around, because you don't have to pay for studio time and things like that. And I think it does become really good investment, if you will, to set up like a home studio and have that ability. And I know, Adrienne, your harmonies are so spectacular, and it's evident in every single song that I've listened to. Like, they're really, really spectacular, and I'm in awe, because it's one of the areas that I really, really need to work on. No, really, and I'm being dead serious, because it's one of the areas that I actually have struggled in. I tend to really, like, stick to, like, the melody, and have always gotten very, I don't know what the word is, not hesitant, but, you know, almost, like, unsure of myself, right, when I want to explore other avenues.
And having a home studio has afforded me at least some ability to play around with different things. I'm nowhere near your capabilities, but it is really important to have that available.
That was really nice of you, by the way. That made my whole day. I'm just sitting over here wiggling in my chair. But I think that the thing about it that's kind of, like, I guess my tip would be, not just for you, but for anybody, is to just realize that, especially if you've been singing for a while, even if you've just been in, like, a choir, right, you know, growing up, you have that ability to hear what's going to fit into a chord and, you know, what's going to work best. Or you could, like we were saying, you can try it. And if it sounds like garbage, you just delete that and you re-record. And it's no big deal. And you don't necessarily have to map out the chords in advance. You don't necessarily have to write it on paper or try it on an instrument first. You know, you can just hum along and see if it sounds right with the melody track that you've already laid down. And I think for singers, sometimes we think that we have to follow the songwriter's plan that they gave us because that's our job as the singer. And I feel like we just need to have a little more confidence about ourselves because, like I said, if you've ever been in a choir, if you've ever been in a singing group of any sort, if you've ever even been to like a church or some sort of organized activity where you're all singing along, you've heard those harmonies and you know how to do it. It's just like giving yourself the confidence to be able to try it. So, yeah, I know you could do it. You could definitely do it. You're a wonderful singer. You got this.
Oh, thank you. Well, I definitely need practice, that's for sure. All right. Well, with that, I would like to talk about the second song that you guys brought with you to share. Give us a little bit of overview about Am I Dreaming? Tell us what this song is about.
Yeah, so I wrote this song about, we have 2 7-year-olds, and when they go to bed at night, they have all these, like, stuffies around them and, like, Pixar toys, and it's kind of when they sleep that they're their guardians, you know? And so I kind of wrote this song, it's kind of like what's it like for a 7-year-old to fall asleep?
As they're drifting off.
As they're drifting off. Yeah. And there's a thing about Abe Lincoln and stovepipe hat, because our boy Max was just like, all of a sudden he comes home from school and just like, Abe Lincoln.
He's really into Abe Lincoln.
All of a sudden for like a week he was just like, Abe Lincoln, Abe Lincoln.
So I just kind of throw in things that, yeah, we're totally influenced by the kids and that practice up and cuteness there. So you used to dress up as a... Well, you were putting them to bed while they were little, or used to dress up like a robot sometimes from Gromar, this made-up planet, and they just got a kick out of it. So there's a little robot inserted in there. It's just a cute little song.
We had these flashing sunglasses, and when I put them on, I would go, I am from Gromar. I am here to collect children. And then I take them off and go, hey, what's going on? And they're like, you are a robot. I'm like, what?
So they like this song for that reason. They're like, remember, Daddy, when you were a robot? So that's cute.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Well, it is an awesome song, and we're going to play it for everybody. This is Am I Dreamin' by Space Hug.
Thank you.
Like I mentioned, it's another awesome song. And one of the things that I really, really like that, even though it was inspired by your children, it is actually a very relatable song and mm-hmm. can be listened to by anybody, right? It's not a kid's song per se, even though that they inspired it. So very well done and crafty with the songwriting and production on that one.
Yeah, it was interesting on that song because there's a drone CLFO going through, and I actually set a little thing on the keyboard when I wrote it.
A wait
on the, just to go do, 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 and then wrote the song that, with that underneath. So it was kind of fun. That was a good experiment. So.
And that was kind of when we were doing the live shows, that was a good song for us to kind of get some really cool technology and stuff going with our drumming. So Ryan, our amazing drummer, we got him actually a drum pad that sat as part of his kit. So he had a live drum kit and then the pad was kind of off to the side and he preloaded some super cool sounds, you know, one of which was that drone going in the background that pulsed throughout the song. And it was just really fun, I think, for him to kind of try something new. But then we started integrating that tool and into a lot of our songs and a lot of our performances, and it really was kind of fun. It challenged us, and it inspired a lot of us to do those types of triggers live on stage instead of necessarily pre-recording things in the background. We were triggering things with our feet with pedals, and I had a full pedal board that Eric built out for me using just some old scrap wood and you know, Velcroing down some vocal pedals and harmony pedals. And I was really intimidated by it at first and nervous to use those things live. And it didn't always go right. Sometimes the frequencies or whatever wouldn't work with whatever the sound guy or sound gal's technology was. And so that would stress me out and stress them out as we were doing sound check. But when it did come together and things worked, we all had different pedals going, we all had different triggers going, and it just made the performance feel more authentic and a little stressful, but also super rewarding if we would pull it off, and we usually did, so it was fun.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Well, you guys have definitely been doing some spectacular things with those, and I know the pedal whole scenario thing is very new for a lot of people. I've never used it, but I have talked to actually quite a few artists over the past couple of years that have started to get into like having like the pedals on stage and things like that. So it's definitely starting to get a little bit more prevalent. So it's fun to hear that you guys are using that too.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's stressful when you're not used to it, but once you get the hang of it, then if I don't have it, I'm bummed out.
Well, I think part of it too is like when you're recording, you just have the freedom to like layer lots of different sounds and things. And when you do it live, it's to replicate that unless you have some of that stuff going on, you know.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners? I mean, I know that you guys are starting to build up repertoire and things like that in your new home, but you still have social media presence. The band is still recording remotely. You're still doing like music videos and things like that. Where can people find out more about you and where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, well, we do have a website that kind of is our home base. So it's basehubmusic.com. And then that links to all of our YouTube videos. You can search us on YouTube. We've got an Instagram page. We've got Facebook, of course, because that's where we link to, you know, performances or if there's any sort of activity there. But, yeah, we definitely are still making music. We're going to be doing some music videos here in Hawaii pretty soon.
Yeah.
And we just dropped a new song last week. You can tell about that.
Yeah, a new song called Cupid. It's just about how much I love Adrian.
I love that. And that's a great tee off because you know what, guys? That's our bonus track that we're going to be playing for everyone. So if you stick around after the closing credits, you will get the bonus track, Cupid, that Eric and Adrian have kindly shared with me. It's another spectacular track. I know everybody's going to love it as much as I do. So with that, I would like to awesome songwriter Eric and vocalist Adrian from the awesome band Space Hug for taking the time to chat with me today. It has been an absolute, absolute pleasure. Thank you to everyone for tuning in to Mixin' It. And on behalf of all of us here at Sim Radio, until next time, keep
aloha.
Aloha.